keep the beat in rhythm with God. And in part one of this series, we focused on Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, which says this, really short verse. Well, that's the end of the verse, actually. It says this, the joy of the Lord is, you got it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, it's right there. That's why you got it. You guys are good. And we answered two questions from this verse. Question one, what gives God joy and how does his joy strengthen you? Well, the answer comes this way. What gives God joy is to restore people into relationship with himself and in his purpose for them on earth. That gives God joy. Ever read about angels rejoicing when one comes to the Lord? God is rejoicing when someone says, I want to be restored to the Lord. And that gives him joy. It's his joy. Now, let's ask ourselves a sidelight question here. What do you think is going to stop God from having joy? Is there anything on this earth that can stop God from having his joy? Well, there is one thing. Who is it? Us. We can say no to God forever. We don't want to do that. Say yes to God. Gives him joy to restore people to their original design as he's created us. One might argue that this may be have been true in Nehemiah's day some 2,500 years ago. But what about today? Is God still in the business of restoring people to himself and his purpose? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul answers this question. He says, since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights, and here it is, on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. The realities of heaven. What are the realities of heaven? Well, if you go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, you'll see five times in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 6, 4, 5 times. I can't remember all the chapters it's in. Paul refers to the heavenly realms. Chapter 2, verse 6. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. This is a reality of heaven. What does that mean? It means that you... let me back up a little. It means this. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, which is a position of honor and authority. Now, hear Paul's words. You are seated with Christ, which must mean that you have a position of authority too. Christ came and he cast out demons. Christ came and he healed people. Christ came and he forgave people by his authority. Now he's left. He's gone. The skin of God of Jesus, he said this, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I'm the skin of God, Jesus said, while I'm here on earth. You can have supper with me. We can talk. We can pray together. We can experience life together. And then Jesus said this to his disciples, Delbert's paraphrase. He says, I'm leaving. And when I'm gone, you, church, will be the skin of God. And when people experience you, they'll go, oh, this is what God is like. Now, that might scare you. It's kind of a heavy mantle to wear. But it's a great privilege, too. Is it not a privilege to represent Jesus Christ? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are his ambassadors as if we are speaking on his behalf. As if he was speaking. See, again, it's a position of authority. I'm speaking for Jesus here. And yes, you are. Wow. You guys, this is exciting. You're really excited. So this is God's joy, to restore people to the realities of heaven. The entire chapter of John 17 records Jesus' prayer as he prepared to die for our sin. His words in verse 20 tells us that, yes, God is still in the restoration business today. He says this, Jesus prays, I am praying not only for these disciples of mine, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. Who's the there a reference to? Disciples, us. Others will come to know Jesus because of our testimony. Do you have a testimony of how God has impacted your life? Everybody go like this. Yes, you do. You have a testimony. And I bet you could, in 3 or 4 minutes, tell me about your before Jesus, your BC days, how Jesus got your attention, how you accepted his life, his forgiveness to you, and how you are living today, how he's impacting your life today. 3 or 4 minutes, you could tell me that. That's your testimony. Doesn't have to be long. In fact, we want it short, don't we? I could go on for hours about what God has done in my life, but not when I'm sharing with somebody what Jesus has done for me. They want down to the core what it means. Gilbert, what does Jesus mean to you? So God is in the business of restoring people to their original design and purpose, and you know what this means? It means that God has created you with an inborn or organic need to be restored to your Father God. He has placed inside of you a need to be connected to your Father. Every person on this earth who's breathing right now has that need. A lot of them don't know it. I didn't know it as a teenager. I was doing my own thing. Kayla knew it when she was a teenager. That's why we didn't know each other in high school. We went to the same high school, but, you know, she was the cute little redheaded girl that went to church. And I was the athletic boy who didn't go to church. We didn't know each other. God has placed in you a hole in your heart that only he can fill. Amen? And the more you let him in and fill that hole instead of other things that so many of us have tried over the years to fill that place, and it never satisfied. Only God satisfies. People are constantly trying to find a relationship that's real and lasting, a place where they know they belong. They use all kinds of substitutes to try to meet this need, but only God can truly satisfy. Larry Kopic taught me a question to ask when people are trying something, there's a struggle going on, it isn't work. Larry said, ask them this. How's that working for you? How's that meeting your need over time? Great question. Because that pauses, that makes us pause and think, out of everything I've tried, what is meeting my need over time? God created with you an inborn need to connect with him. People can, perhaps you can feel him calling you home to be with him today. Come home. I'm here for you. I'm keeping you. I'm your safest place on earth. God loves you. He's keeping you. He wants you to know that he is home. He is home. The joy of the Lord is to restore you to a loving and permanent relationship with him. So how does God's joy strengthen you? Let's answer that question. Let me ask you, how do you feel when you know you've obeyed God? How do you feel when you know you've done something to obey God? Do you feel happy, sad, glad it's over? What do you do when you obey God and you go, wow, that felt good. I pleased my Father. And it feels good to me to have obeyed him in this place in my life. Do the phrases like soul satisfying, making a positive difference, or pleasing your Father, do those words come to mind when you think about obeying him? Well, let's add a blow your mind scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. I just read these in our prayer this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now, Christ is far above any ruler and authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things, what does that leave out? Nothing. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave Christ the authority to benefit the church. Christ has the authority to benefit the church, the purpose of the church. That's you. You know what that means? You can't lose. And the only way you can lose is to not try. You know what I think? As I look at my own life, I've let fear stop me from obeying God. It has stopped me. I let fear stop me from learning and knowing in a real deep, kind of the deepest core of my soul type of place, that Christ really does have authority over everything. Over me. Over you. Now, this should really, I hope, thrill you. Christ has authority over everything for the purpose of the church. What's the purpose of the church on earth? Two things. One is to seek and save the lost, okay, those who don't know Jesus yet, and to equip the saved. Seek and save the lost, Matthew 28. Equip the saved, Ephesians 4. That's our purpose on earth. And Christ has authority to help you do everything that he would ask you to do. Woohoo! If you cross God's joy of restoring people to himself with the you can't lose when you obey theme of Christ's power, what do you get? You get a confident strength that overcomes every fear and obstacle standing in your way. A confident strength. Now, I'm not saying you may not be afraid. This may be a whole new area of obedience you're going to do. And it's, you know, the fear of the unknown, that's a natural fear we experience. But don't let that stop you, because Christ has authority over that fear. Now, actually has authority over the message of that fear that it gives you. What if, it says, you don't know how to answer a question. What if, it says, you do this wrong? What if? Christ has power and authority over all that stuff. But you won't know his power and authority over everything for the church until you dip your toe in the water and say, here I go. Right? Here I go. How many of you have ever went swimming in a lake or a river that was so cold? Wallowa Lake. It's cold all year round. And you tipped your toe in, you went, whoo! And you said, but I'm determined to go swimming. Whoa! Yeah! And you put your other foot in, this is so cold. And then you get a little further, and it's, oh, this is painful. I can't believe this is so cold, but I'm determined to go swimming. And you get about here, and you go, I can't do anymore. But I'm determined to go swimming. So, what do? I dive in. I jump in and I got to get this over with, because if I do it inch by inch, I'll never get there. Right? Same with obeying God. Inch by inch. Every inch has the possibility of turning around and getting out. Dive in and discover the power and authority Christ has over everything for the church, for you. Woo! Everybody go, woo! Woo! Yeah. This is power. This is exciting stuff. The only way you can fail is to not try. What else do you get? Well, you receive increasing joy yourself as you learn to use the inborn or this organic ability God has put inside of you to serve him through your personality and your skills. This is why I've titled this series, Keep the Beat. The rhythm, keeping the rhythm with God. See, God is always at work, isn't he? God is always, John 6:44, God is always at work to draw you to himself. Always. Hear that word. God is all, the beat. Doom, doom, doom. It's going. He's got the beat. And to keep the beat with him, I need to dive in. And discover the beat of God, this heart of God, his heartbeat for what he's doing in this world. Being in rhythm with God means, one, that you're using your inborn personality, your skills, to draw people to Christ and to his church family. And secondly, it means that you're building up your church family through ministries that help us grow and mature. We do not grow and mature in a vacuum. Have you ever said to yourself, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. How far did you get? Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of resources. On my phone, I have the YouVersion. You know, you can do a Bible reading every day. I don't always get every day. We need each other to grow and mature. I need someone to say, Delbert, have you done your reading today? Not for a checkoff list, but to connect with my Father. Yeah. You and I are followers of Jesus because Christians around us help us know who Jesus is and how to have a relationship with him. Can you think of one name, one person right now who has helped you be where you are in your walk with Christ today? Can you think of one person who has helped you do that? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people. What if they didn't? What if fear stopped their mouth? We're followers of Jesus today because someone shared with you. God created this purpose and desire in them to go and just share a moment. Okay, it doesn't always, your moments with people doesn't always have to be about Jesus. But know this, it's always about Jesus, isn't it? A smile, a hug, a prayer, isn't that about Jesus? You may not say Jesus to them that day, but it's always about Jesus because that's our purpose on earth. We're in the business that God's in the business of, restoring people to him. It's inborn. It's organic. I kind of like that word, organic. You know, when you think of the word organic, I think of natural, okay? I was looking up some signs on the internet that would describe organic. And one sign, it was a farm sign that said this. The farm, where eggs are laid and manure is made. That's organic. It's inborn inside of you. God has instilled in your faith DNA the desire to have only him fill that hole in your heart and to serve his purpose on earth. God built inside of you that natural concern for others. So keeping the beat and the rhythm of God can be described by using the three C's of following Jesus. Okay, these are blanks on your outline, so let's fill them in. First C is celebrate. Celebrate his love of all mankind. God loves you. A friend of mine gave me a t-shirt, says this. It has these two hands pointing out at you like this, two fingers. God loves you. And then underneath it says, but I'm his favorite. So I wear that around non-Christian circles on purpose because it generates discussion. It's a lot of fun. Celebrate his love for everyone. Celebrating his love often, daily, helps strengthen your connection to God as you read and comprehend how God says you are to grow and mature. I'm really working at maturing. I think pastors ought to do that. Maybe they should work at maturing, but so should you. And so when I come up against a situation or a temptation, I ask myself this question, write it down. What would maturity in Christ do with this? What would maturity in Christ do with this? What would maturity in Christ do with this temptation, with this anger, with this, I won't read today because I want to just relax? You know, here's one thing pastors have trouble with. They see everything as work. A phone call, Bible reading. Cindy knows she was in ministry at Bible college, doing ministry here. Man, you know, everything is work. And so to relax from work can sound like this. Put the Bible down. That's work. I'm just working all the time. So, you know, I can't be doing that. Scripture reading is relationship for me and for you, isn't it? It's not work. God wants us to grow and mature. Second, connect. Connect regularly with God's people and your community throughout weekly worship gatherings, small groups, and by serving together in various ministries. This is where we practice, capital P, where we practice godly relationships building with Christ, with his church family, within the community, connecting. Use anything God has given you. Here comes the core of the message. Use what God has organically put inside of you, your personality. We're going to talk more about this on the 16th. About how to use your personality and the skills God has given you to connect. And when you do it in an organic or an inborn way, you know what it becomes? Fun. Because now it's not, I have to do this. Pastor thinks I need to do this. No. You do something that is natural for you, that God has put into you. Maybe you're a quiet person like my wife. You know how opposites attract? I'm not quiet. I don't know if you didn't know that about me, but I'm not quiet. And I love to share and talk and visit with people. And Kayla is just the opposite. God uses her and what she likes to do to upbuild the body and bless people in the community. Okay, see these slides back here? She does everything. She does all those slides for me. I give her my sermon. We sit down. We talk it through. She dreams up all this stuff. I don't know how she does that, but she loves it. It's fun for her. Guess what it is for me? Work. But she loves it, and it blesses us. Connect using your inborn skills and personalities God has given you. Thirdly, contribute to God's purpose through ministry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me read this to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I love this. You're going to love this too. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He gives you everything you need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence or evil all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature, his godlike nature. Whew, this is awesome. God has given you everything you need to win against your own obstacles and fears in your own life. Isn't this powerful? So that you can use the things he has naturally given to you, the things he has built inside of you, into your own DNA, that you really love and enjoy, and use those to bless others, to connect Jesus to them. You and I become bridges. And when you love what you do, guess how fun it is. Amen. So be thinking about what you naturally love to do. So in our next message, I will share with you ways to serve God by identifying and using your inborn organic style and skills. Serving God and others is designed to be a joy, not a burden, although sometimes it's hard, is it not? Even in things you enjoy, there's going to be moments that it's hard or moments that it's scary. But when you love doing it, you'll push through. You'll push through. God is good. Man, this is exciting. If you've not yet identified the ways your unique personality and skills can be used effectively in God's kingdom plan, you'll want to hear part 3 on July 16th. Don't miss it. And if you do miss it, it's on the web. Get on our website and look up the sermons and listen to the sermons online. God's got a plan. Keep the beat. Stay in rhythm with Him. I'll give you that message July 16th. And this is the capstone, if you will, of how fun it is to follow Jesus in ways that He built inside of you that you would naturally lean toward and do anyway. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why? Because he's doing the natural bent of how God has formed him. And when we as parents can recognize those things and develop those things in our children, they don't fall away from God. Oh, they might wander, but ultimately they'll follow God. Let's respond to God today. Prayerfully consider and write down one way you enjoy interacting with other people. What's one way you enjoy interacting with people? So that God can use you to connect them to Him, because His desire is to restore them to Himself. And that's His joy. And His joy is your strength. When He uses what you naturally love to do, that's a joy. That's a strength. Isn't this powerful, you guys? Isn't this good? I'm glad I learned Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's powerful. We're building God's kingdom here, okay? We're building God's kingdom right here, connecting people to Him, to each other. Today, I want you to know that God sees you. He knows what He has put inside of you. And if you would like prayer today on having God help you know what that is, would you come and get some prayer? You can come down here while we're singing. You can go to the back. There'll be a couple of people back there to receive you and pray. Lord, help me know where my strength is. Sometimes we're confused about that. I don't really know exactly what I like. What? God, help me identify how you built me. Oh, that's good stuff. That's a great prayer. Let's stand together and let's sing as we build God's kingdom here.